إن الحمد لله
All praise be to Allah.
نحمده
We praise Him.
ونستعينه
We
ونستغفره
depend on Him. We ask
ونعوذ
His
بالله
forgiveness.
من شرور
And we
أنفسنا
seek refuge in Him from
وسيئات
the evils of
أعمالنا.
ourselves and the evils of our
من
deeds.
يهده الله
He
فلا
whom
مضل
Allah
له ومن يضلل
guides, no
فلا
one will lead
هادي
astray.
له.
And He whom He leads
وأشهد
astray,
أن
no
لا
one will guide.
إله إلا
I
الله
bear witness there is no God but
وحده
Allah,
لا
alone with no
شريك له.
companions.
وأشهد أن
And I bear
محمدا
witness that
عبده
Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
ورسوله
wasallam is His
صلى
prophet
الله عليه
and servant.
وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، قد وصلنا في
We reached
دروس التوحيد إلى
in lessons
الحديث
of
عن
Tawheed
وجوب محبة
to
رسول الله
the subject
صلى
of
الله عليه وسلم
loving the
وتعظيمه
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam
والنهي
and exalting him
عن
and
الغلو فيه صلى
the
الله عليه
prohibition
وسلم
of
وعن
praising him
إكراهه
excessively.
لأن الغلو في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
Because praising
ولأن
him
إكراء
excessively
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مما يؤدي إلى الشرك هو من وسائل
can
الشرك
lead
ومن
to
ذرائعه الوسائل التي توقع في الشرك
polytheism.
في توحيد الله تعالى. تكلمنا في الدرس الماضي عن
So the last session we spoke about loving the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and how important it is to love Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And today we're going to talk about prohibiting the excessive praise for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
قال الغلو تجاوز الحد.
So an excess is exceeding the limits. The word in Arabic is a غلو.
قال الله
or going
تعالى
beyond the proper limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, do
يعني
not exceed the limits
الحد.
of your deen.
نهى الله تعالى
end
عن
quote.
الغلو جميع
so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
في أي أمر من أمور الدين ومنها
required us not to
الله
exceed
الله
any limits in religion.
والإطراء
so while flattering is
الحد
to exceed
في
the proper limits of commendation, reaching the point of falsehood,
الحد في المدح والكذب في المدح أن يمدح الإنسان بما ليس فيه
so the word for excessive flattery is إطراء in Arabic
رب العالمين
so this إطراء includes some form of falsehood
خصائص الألوهية وتنافى مع صفته صلى الله عليه وسلم كعبد لله تعالى. قال والمراد
so such excess with regard to the Messenger of Allah means exceeding his status, that is to elevate him to a level of deification by imputing to him some of the divine characteristics, invoking him, supplicating him, seeking his relief, or swearing by him.
الغلو في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يدعى من دون الله استغاث به وأن يحلف
manifestations
به
of
النبي
excessive flattery to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is to swear by him for example which is of course not allowed
ونهى عن دعاء غير الله
and supplicating to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم which is of course a form of shirk.
قال والمراد بالإطراء في حقه
so
صلى
while
الله عليه وسلم يزال
adulating the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is exceeding the limits of praising him.
صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك بقوله لا
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade doing so, saying, quote, do not adulate me as the Christians adulated the son of Maryam. I am only a slave. Call me the slave of Allah and his messenger, end quote.
وقال لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى المسيح ابن مريم. إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. بقية الحديث يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى المسيح ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. فالنصارى أطروا المسيح ابن مريم
so the Christians
عليه السلام
excessively flattered
دعوا فيه الألوهية وقالوا هو الله
Jesus the son of Mary
تعالى الله عما يقولون
To the point where they claim that he is God himself, and they worshipped him. So he meant to say, do not overpraise me by imputing the false characteristics, and do not exceed the limit in praising me, as the Christians exceeded the limits in praising Isa, may Allah render him safe from evil, to the point of deification. Describe me by what my Rabb has described me and call me Abdullah, the slave of Allah and his messenger.
يعني هاتان الصفتان تمنعان الإفراط والتفريط
So those two characteristics, the slave of Allah or the servant of Allah and the messenger, they keep us from going over the limits either way. They keep us from going far beyond what should be, because Rasulullah is ultimately a slave and a servant, and it also keeps us from going way too low in regards to Rasulullah because he's a messenger. So these two characteristics are what we should adhere to.
ونقصوا من حقه صلى الله عليه وسلم فكلا الفريقين على باطل وضلال فصحيح أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد لله تعالى لكنه عبد اختصه الله تعالى برسالته وجعله خاتم الرسل.
The right way is that Rasulullah ﷺ is a servant of God, but he was chosen over other servants by the message, the unique message that he was given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the faithful not to call Rasulullah ﷺ by his name, just like they call each other, but to give him his title, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the faithful to respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highly and to address him in a very respectful manner. But of course that does not mean in any way to excessively exalt him or to adulate him.
فيقول صفوني بما وصفني به ربي فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله ولما قال له بعض أصحابه
once a companion addressed him saying you are our master and he said the master is Allah the blessing giver the exalted.
بعض الصحابة قالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت سيدنا فقال السيد الله تبارك وتعالى. طبعا هذا لا
This doesn't mean that Rasulullah is not our master, but Rasulullah wanted to make a point of not going over the limit and exalting him. But we know that he is the master of, he is our master, and he is the master of humanity, because he himself said that I am the master of all the children of Adam. But we should always remember that the true master is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the masterhood of Rasulullah is only a consequence or secondary to the masterhood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they described him saying, you are the best of us and the most beneficent among us, he said, say what you came for to say, and let not Shaytan make you his followers, enticing you to make presumptuous statements. End
quote.
So those companions were flattering Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم with all these nice sayings. He said, just say what you came to say and don't go over the limit. So what they said so far is true, it's correct, but Rasulullah wanted to stop them before they go too far. And some people also said to the Messenger of Allah O Messenger of Allah, you are the best and the son of the best among us, and our master and the son of our master.
فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها
quote,
الناس
O people,
قولوا
make your
بقولكم
requests
ولا
straightforward and let not shaitan lure you into saying the wrong
أنا
things.
محمد
I am only the slave
الله
of Allah and His Messenger. I do not like you to elevate me above my rank in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed me. Once again, the hadith goes, O people, or let's start with what people said to him, O Messenger of Allah, you are the best and the son of the best among us and our master and the son of our master. He said, addressing them, O people, make your requests straightforward and let not shaitan lure you into saying the wrong things. I am only the slave of Allah and His Messenger. I do not like you to elevate me above my rank in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed me. So the Messenger of Allah disliked to be addressed by such words as you're our master, or the best of us, or the greatest of us. So disliked being addressed by the master or the best or the greatest, although he is the best of mankind and the most honorable of them all. So literally those words are not really they're not really false. And yet he forbade them to address him in such titles, just to keep them away from excess in praising him and to safeguard the tawheed, the belief in the oneness of Allah. He instructed them to call him by these two attributes that are the best and the highest of ranks a slave can reach. They imply neither excess nor a danger to the Aqidah, and they are the slave of Allah, or the servant of Allah, and His Messenger,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Because like we said earlier, those two attributes contain no danger, either in over-exalting Him or in under-exalting Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الصحيحة فسد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني كل الذرائع والوسائل التي تؤدي إلى الوقوع ولم يحب صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرفع
And he did not like them to elevate him above the level at which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed him and accepted it for him. Many people have violated his prohibition by calling upon him. So even though Rasulullah ﷺ repeatedly warned us and strictly told us to stay away from over-exalting him, people started seeking relief from him, swearing by him, and asking him for things that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give. Saying words like madad or asking for help. Or asking for things that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give. All of which take place during the celebration of his birthday, which include litanies and poems in which no distinction is made between the right of Allah and the right of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they mix the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They make things that are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone be the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, the famous poem called Al-Burda that some people recite on the day of the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وقع مؤلفها في الشرك بالله تعالى يعني في بعض أبياتها.
In some of the verses of the poem, the author has fallen into shirk. For example, he said,
من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم.
He said that your generosity includes the entire life and the hereafter, and your knowledge includes everything that has been written in the in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's possession, which means that Rasulullah basically knows everything from the day of existence to the day of judgment, which is of course completely not true, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us repeatedly in the Quran that Rasulullah doesn't know anything beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed him to know. For example, the hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet that there are many hypocrites in Medina and around it, and you don't know them, you don't know who they are. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that explicitly in the Quran. So how can Rasulullah have the knowledge of everything since the day of existence?
يعني كذلك أيضا يقول ما لي سواك من ألوذ به عند حلول الحادث العمل.
Also the same author of that poem said that whenever I'm in any kind of distress, I have no one to turn to but you, addressing Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Of course this is shirk, because Rasulullah can't be asked for favors, especially now that he's dead. And even if he wasn't, the person to ask for help is always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
نسج على منواله واتبع هذه الطريقة التي فيها الإطراء.
Of course, everyone who followed the lead of that poet, could be fallen into shirk. The scholar Ibn Qayyim says that in his poem, which is rhymed by the letter Noon, saying, to Allah belongs a right, not to someone else, and to his slave is another right. So there are two rights. Do not make the two rights one right, with no distinction between the two. So don't make the servant be at the level of the Creator, or vice versa. Now, the third part of this chapter is the status and the rank of the Prophet. There is no harm in pointing out his status by praising him for things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him, and to mention his status with which he distinguished him, and believing that too, the Prophet enjoys an exalted rank in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed him. So we shouldn't go beyond the limit on either sides of the spectrum.
إلى جفاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عجلا فيقول يعني كما أننا ننهى عن.
So just like we are not supposed to go over the limits and over in exceeding the proper level of exalting Rasulullah, we should always be careful not to go below the limit and disrespect Rasulullah. He is the slave of Allah and His Messenger, and His choice from His creation, and absolutely the best of all creatures. He is the Messenger of Allah to mankind at large, jinn and men, and the best of all messengers, and the last of all prophets. And all these points are true, and they come directly from the Quran and the Sunnah. So there's no harm in pointing out these points to say that he is the best of all creatures and the best of all the children of Adam.
وخاتم النبيين لا نبي بعده قد شرح الله له صدره ورفع له ذكره وجعل الذلة والصغار على من خالف.
الله سبحانه وتعالى has dilated his chest and exalted his mention and placed lowliness and humiliation on those who defy his commands. He is the one who will enjoy al-maqam al-mahmud, or the praised status, of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, it may be that your Rabb will raise you to an exalted rank, end quote.
إذا ذكر الله تعالى يذكر رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا أراد الإنسان أن يدخل في الإسلام لا يدخله إلا بذكر الله تعالى.
And also we know that in Adhan, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is also mentioned. And we know that whenever someone enters Islam, you need to, he or she needs to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this level is a true level. It's not false and it's not overly excessive. This is the verse that we just mentioned. Now this means the rank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow on him by means of which he will intercede on behalf of mankind on the day of resurrection, so that their Rabb relieves them from the horrors of that day. It is a special rank which will be restricted to him alone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of all prophets. You know the story of the two intercessions on the Day of Judgment, that people will spend a long time waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come and provide judgment.
يعني يشتد بهم العرق كل على حسب عمله منهم من يبلغ عرقه إلى كعبيه أو إلى ركبتيه أو إلى حقويه أو إلى
صدره أو يلجمه العرق. They all sweat according to how they did in life.
الناس يعني يتشاورون فيما بينهم في هذا الموقف العظيم ماذا يفعلون؟ فيقول بعضهم لبعض اذهبوا بنا إلى آدم.
You know that they start seeking intercession by going to Adam first. And they go to Adam and they flatter him with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, and then they ask him to intercede. And Adam refuses and says, I can't do that because I've eaten out of the tree that I was not supposed to eat from. And then they go to Noah and they do the same thing. They praise him and they flatter him. And then they ask him to intercede.
وسماك الله عبدا شكورا اشفع لنا عند ربك الا ترى الى ما نحن فيه وكذا فيقول لست لا اني سالت ربي ما ليس لي به علم اذهبوا الى ابراهيم ثم يذهبون الى ابراهيم عليه السلام فيقول لست لها اذهبوا الى موسى
and then they go to Abraham, then they go to Moses, and then they go to Isa, Jesus. May peace and blessings be upon all of them. And then they eventually go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad. And then and he says, I will do it. And then he prostrates in front of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فيقول الله تعالى له ارفع رأسك وسل تعطى واشفع.
And he starts praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to stand up and to ask for whatever he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes along with angels and provides judgment.
هذا المقام المحمود الذي شرفه الله سبحانه.
And this is the maqam al-mahmud, or the praised status that the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is given, that only his intercession will be accepted. Now he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most, and he is the most pious of mankind.
لله تعالى وأعلمهم بالله تعالى أيضا. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال عن نفسه صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أخشاكم لله
وأخشاكم لله أعلمكم به أنا. The most pious and the most most God-fearing and the most knowledgeable about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is me, talking about himself. And the story of that is that three people they underrated the they underrated the worship of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, saying that they can do better. One of them said that I will stay up all night and I will never go to sleep. One said that I will fast every single day, and one of them said I will never come close to women. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم became angry and said, I am the one who is most pious and most fearing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and most knowledgeable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet I fast and I break and I sleep and I stay up and I marry women. And whoever deviates from my way is not from within my way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited believers to raise their voices in His presence and commended those who lower their voices in His presence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, O you who believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet, and speak not aloud to him as you speak aloud to one another, lest your good deeds become void without being aware of it. Verily those who lower their voices in the presence of the Messenger of Allah are the ones whose hearts Allah has purified for righteousness. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. Those who call you outside your apartments, most of them do not understand. And had they waited patiently until you come out to them, it would have been better for them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and merciful. End quote. Imam Al-Kathir, may Allah grant him his mercy, said, with the above ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches his believing slaves to treat the Prophet with reverence, dignity, and adulation, not to speak loud in front of the Prophet, nor raise their voices above his. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also prohibits calling the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name as other people are called, that is to call him O Muhammad. Rather, he should be called by the title of the message, O Messenger of Allah, or O the Prophet of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, do not treat the calling of the Messenger among you the way you call each other. End quote. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also calls him O Prophet or O Messenger, and he exalts his mention and commands his angels and slaves to supplicate for exalting his mention. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself calls or addresses the Prophet by O Prophet or O Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, quote, Allah and his angels praise the Prophet. O you who believe, pray Allah to praise him and exalt his mention and render him safe from evil. End quote. However, no particular time should be designated in order to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor a particular manner unless such manner is substantiated by the book and the sunnah. So we're not supposed to make a certain day for us all together to praise the Prophet or exalt him. So designating a particular day as those who celebrate the birthday of the Prophet alleging it to be the day he was born for adulating him, their function is objectionable bid'ah.
يوم اثنين ولد في عام الفيل لكن هل هذا اليوم كان يوافق اي يوم من ايام الشهر الله تعالى اعلم بذلك فقولهم يعني
So to specify the night of the 11th of Rabi' al-Awwal, and to gather on that particular night to do to say those poems or to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way is a bid'ah. Part of revering the Messenger of Allah is to revere his sunnah and to believe in the incumbency of applying it, and that it comes in status next to the Qur'an in terms of reverence and application, because the sunnah is revelation too. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, "Nor does he speak of his own desire. It is only revealed revelation," end quote. So part of the true revering of the Prophet is to revere his sunnah and to adhere to it. So it is not permissible to hold it in doubt or belittle its importance or criticize and scrutinize its chain of narrators or elaborate on its texts without knowledge and reservation. So no one should come and give preference to certain hadiths just out of what they think is true, without knowledge, for anyone to scrutinize or criticize any hadith. There has to be a lot of knowledge that comes with that. Nowadays, there are many ignorant people who presumptuously criticize the message of the Prophet, particularly amongst some young people who are in their early stages of education. They assume presumptuously the position of scrutinizing the hadith by declaring some to be weak and some to be authentic, and they criticize the narrators without proper knowledge other than reading books, a situation which poses great danger to those young people and to the ummah as well. They should fear Allah and know their limits. After that, the author goes to talk about the incumbency of obeying the Prophet and emulating him. And the obedience of the Prophet is incumbent on every Muslim by fulfilling his commands and refraining from his prohibitions, as required by the second segment of the testimony of faith, Muhammad Rasulullah, where Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So a requirement of this testimony that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah is to obey him and emulate him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded obeying him in many ayat. At times Allah combines the obedience which is due to him with the obedience which is due to his messenger, saying, quote, "O you who believe, obey Allah and obey his messenger," end quote. And he also says, quote, "Whoso obeys the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obeys Allah," end quote. There are many similar ayat. At times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his obedience individually, the obedience of the Prophet individually, quote, "and obey the messenger that you may be shown mercy," end quote.
يعني أن نطيعه في القرآن الكريم أو فيما بلغه من القرآن الكريم ممن ينكرون سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقال له إن الله تعالى أمر بطاعة.
So for those who say that we're not supposed to obey the messenger except in what has been revealed in the Quran, we say to them, the Quran itself says that Rasulullah is to be obeyed in whatever he says. So the sunnah is definitely included in what we should follow by the order of the Quran itself. And the sunnah elaborates and illuminates some of the requirements that are shown in the Quran. And at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens those who disobey his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the following ayat. The following ayah, quote, "So let those who defy his command beware lest a trial afflict them or receive a grievous punishment."
أي تصيبهم فتنة في قلوبهم من كفر أو
which means to be afflicted by an affliction in their hearts such as infidelity, hypocrisy, or bid'ah, or by painful torment in this world by execution, castigation, imprisonment, or any other hasty punishment.
تحل عليهم سواء في الدنيا أو في الآخرة. وقد جعل الله طاعته
and also that it has made obeying the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and following him as a means for attaining the love of Allah to his slave and forgiving his sins. Thus سبحانه وتعالى says
سببا لكي يحبنا الله سبحانه وتعالى. Quote,
say, if you love Allah, follow me, then Allah will love you and forgive your sins. End quote.
We
also know that Al-Hasan al-Basri says that some people claimed that they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them with this ayah, saying, say, if you love Allah, follow me, and then Allah will love you and forgive your sins. So this is more like a litmus test. If you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should follow the Prophet sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam.
And that in itself will bring you the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He
also made his obedience as a means of guidance and his opposition and disobedience as a means of deviation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, and if you obey him, you will be rightly guided, end
quote.
Now, which means that the opposite is true, that if you do not obey him, you are misguided. Allah also says, quote, but if they do not respond to you, then know that they only follow their own whims, and who is more erring than the one who follows his whims without guidance from Allah? Verily, Allah does not guide the unjust people. End quote. So whoever does not follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is following his own whims and desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says he has set Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a paradigm for his ummah to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, verily you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent model for him who fears Allah, or for whoever fears Allah and the day and the last day, and who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. End quote. In his comment on this ayah, Ibn Kathir, may Allah grant him his mercy, he said, quote, this noble ayah is a central fundamental for emulating the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his utterances, actions, and affairs. It is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded people to follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of clans, in his perseverance in combat, as well as his waiting patiently for the victory of his Rabb, glory be to him. May Allah exalt his mention and render him safe from evil continuously until the day of resurrection. End quote.
الكلام عن غزوة الأحزاب وما فيها من الحكم والعبر فيقول سبحانه لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة فهنا يقول ابن كثير رحمه الله في
تفسير so كثير here is saying he said this during the tafsir of سورة الأحزاب of the clans
وجهاده ومرابطته.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has proven to be a great example in his perseverance and his patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated the command to the believers to obey the messenger and follow him in about 40 places in the Quran. And that's why the Salaf or the ancestors always took what came in the Sunnah
لأن الله تعالى أمر في القرآن بطاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
very seriously and they took it as if it was mentioned in the Quran because Allah سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran says that we're supposed to obey the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
المرأة التي يعني سمعت عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه يقول يعني قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن الله النامصة والمتنمصة والواشمة والمستوشمة وذكر
There's an incident where a woman heard Ibn Mas'ud saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed the women who remove their eyebrows. She said to Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Mas'ud said this is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the woman says, it's not in the book of Allah. I've read the whole book and I didn't find that. He said, if you really read it, then you must have found it. The woman went back and she read the whole Quran once again, the whole book, looking for that. And she didn't find that. She didn't find a mention of that. So she came back to Ibn Mas'ud. And then he said, didn't you read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought forth you should take and whatever he forbade you to do you should stay away from? End quote. So this is the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means that it's in the Quran essentially.
يقول ذكر الله طاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم اتباعه في نحو 40 موضعا من القرآن فالنفوس أحوج إلى
The need for knowing the details of the message with which Rasulullah was sent صلى الله عليه وسلم and following him is greater than one's need for food and drink because if food and drink are not available death will ensue in this world but when the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is neither obeyed nor followed permanent torment and misery will ensue
يقول النفس أحوج إلى طاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منها إلى الطعام والشراب يعني أقصى ضرر لفقدان الطعام
so
والشراب
the worst that can happen for the, because of the lack of food and drink is death
الضرر الذي يحصل
but the worst that can happen from disobeying Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is torment in life and the hereafter so it's even worse
ولو قد أمر صلى الله عليه وسلم
but the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded his ummah to follow him in terms of fulfilling acts of worship and performing them in the same manner which he did of course we should take his example in everything in his manners and the way he used to do things and his faith of course
ومن ضمن ما نقتدي به برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نقتدي به في العبادات وأن نؤدي العبادة كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يؤدي فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم
says quote pray as you see me praying
وقال
صلى
الله عليه وسلم
and he also says quote learn from me your rituals of Hajj end quote
قال خذوا عني مناسك وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم
and he also says صلى الله عليه وسلم he who introduces an act of worship not substantiated by our deen it shall be rejected end quote
أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو رد مردود عنه وقال من رغب عن سنتي
he also says quote he who turns away from my sunnah does not belong to me end quote there are many other similar texts that include the command of emulating and adhering to him and forbid opposing him صلى الله عليه وسلم We'll stop here, inshallah. Do you have any questions?
شيخ
عندما يقول المؤلف أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو أفضل الخلق أفضل البشر والأفضل الخلق من كل ما خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى.
أحسنتم هذا السؤال يعني عن يعني وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأنه أفضل الخلق.
Saying that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is quote the best of creatures is that does that mean only humans or all the creatures of Allah سبحانه وتعالى including angels etc. The true, what a number of companions have said is that Rasulullah is better than the angels. Abdullah ibn Salam, for example, says that Allah has never created anyone who is more dear to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, than his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was asked, not even Gabriel the angel or the angel Michael, and he said, no, not even that. The contention between scholars happened when they wanted to find out who has a higher level in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it the best of humans or the pious human beings other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the angels? Here's where the contention happened. Sheikh Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that probably the best thing to think here is that during life, angels would be better than those pious human beings, because sometimes they would do some things that are incorrect. Those pious people, but on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, those good, faithful, pious people will join the angels in the fact that they will be prevented from committing any evil. They will, so in Jannah, inshallah, they will be just like angels. In terms of they don't do anything wrong, but they will be better than angels at that time, because angels will be made as servants to them. So anyway, when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is the best of all creation, even the angels. So we'll stop here, inshallah, and we'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us on what we have said and learned. Subhanallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.